facility here in Geneva, Switzerland, right next to a very strange-looking portal. I don't know what's on the other side of that thing, but we're going to try to talk about it again today. And this just has my interest, my fascination. This, let me pull the picture up here again. I mean, we're going to get right into it today. This dance, this little ritual that was done at CERN headquarters, the site where CERN headquarters is the site, we talked about this Tuesday, of an ancient temple dedicated to the god little g, the little g god of Apollyon, which, as you know, if you are so inclined to take your King James Version Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 9. Let's just get into Scripture while you're turning there. Good to have everybody with us today. A couple of things I want to make you aware of as we move along in today's broadcast. Number one, Alicia tells me that, let me get the big picture up here. There we go. Let me do that and do that. Here we go. Watch this. Take a look at that, huh? I Heart PMO, the talk show hell hates. We have some of these, and I think we're gonna get some more. If you would like a mug, this is a mug, and this is a mug. If you'd like a mug, give us a call, and here's what we'll do. And I've already had several requests, people interested in this. I'm calling it the CERN package. And here's what the CERN package is. We started this talk on Tuesday. We're going to work through it again on today's broadcast. And so I decided to just group some DVDs together that are sort of background to all of this and provide some things that I may not have talked about today. Here's what you'll get. And I've put this on my blog, PastorMikeHoggard.com. Also put the link where you could send us an email, PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org. That's on the blog. You can give us a call at area code 636-931-3999 and just say, I want what Pastor Mike said. I want the CERN package. I'm very concerned with what's going on at CERN, and I want the package. Here's what you'll get. You'll get, and I've never done this before, you're going to get the Pastor Mike Online from Tuesday and today. Let me make sure I hit the record button. Yeah, I did. All right, it's working. You're going to get the PMO from Tuesday and today on DVD. Well, I won't say I've never had, but we don't usually make a DVD out of PMOs. We usually just retain the audio and send that out in our watchers packets on an MP3 disc. So what you'll get is you'll get two DVDs, one from Tuesday, one today. You will get the video series called, I got to look at my notes again. You'll get the video series that we did a couple years ago called Elements of Wrath. It deals with elemental witchcraft and how CERN is involved in that. And I'm not making this up. And I give the evidence. I give the biblical evidence. I give what some would say circumstantial, but that's just the way it is. I give that evidence. So you get the Elements of Wrath. There's another DVD that dovetails this called The Beast of 9/11. That's on DVD. And you'll get all of the CDs, the audio CDs, from all of these DVDs. You'll get that sent to you. You can order it for someone else and have it sent to them. All you have to do is give us a call, 636-931-3999. Go to propheticresearchministry.com. You can send us an email at PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org. And again, all of that information is on the blog, PastorMikeHoggard.com. All right, now, you were in Revelation chapter 9. Let me, and just hang on to that. There are, let me just kind of breeze through some really interesting articles that have come up in the last day or so. Let me set this aside here. That's our scripture. And this is the quickie news. All right, here we go. Good Lord, cop says Red Cross told him not to pray with flood victims. There was a man down there who was helping flood victims, I guess associated with the Red Cross. And let's see here. Cop says Red Cross told him. Yeah, the police officer helping people out. One of our watcher friends, Brother Tim, 26-year veteran of the police force, he will, at times, in the operation of his duties, he will witness. He carries tracts, gives them out. Amen. Those are the people that need to hear. It's the sick people who need the medicine, not the well people. And he does that. And I thank God for that. By the way, you pray for his father. He's going to be having open heart surgery, I think, tomorrow. And he told me, he said, man, he said, I love my dad. He said, my dad was the one who for years stood on the solid foundation of the King James Bible. And he said, I just appreciate everybody's prayers. So you continue to lift him up if you've been praying already. But here's this cop being told that as he rescues people from these horrific floodwaters, it's a cross, right? The Red Cross told him, you can't pray with these people. Meanwhile, Obama, in between marking down his golf score on the 12th fairway, sends out a 16-page document. Instead of going down to Louisiana, which he finally did, doesn't cut off his vacations, out there playing golf, on the 12th tee box, writes up a 16, I'm kind of making that part up, 16-page document ordering all of those who are working down with the flood victims down in Louisiana, they had better not discriminate against anybody based upon race, sexual orientation, country of origin, or even the Cajuns. It can't discriminate against the Cajuns. Absolutely ridiculous. And the people down in Louisiana are going, are you kidding me? It's like we're all neighbors down here. Of course we're going to help one another out. We don't need a commandment from the president, who apparently is too busy to come down here himself. The man's absolutely ridiculous. And the killery that could follow him in is worse. Let me read this one. Just a couple headlines. Synthetic biology era is here. How we can make the most of it. Synthetic. You know what that is? That is, let me get in the camera here, Solve and Coagula, like this, on Baphomet. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you keep talking about Baphomet? Baphomet's not in the Bible. Oh, yes. Yes. And I've got an idea for a sort of a different style of video, and I'm going to talk about that. Baphomet's right in the Bible. But anyway, Solve and Coagula. It is the Hegelian dialect where you have thesis and antithesis. Think Christ and Antichrist. Think of right and wrong, light and darkness. And they are fused together to create a new synthetic ideology or whatever, a qubit. A qubit is a synthetic. When I'm talking about qubit, I'm talking about quantum computers who apparently have the capability of having a switch in a what's called a superposition. It's on and off at the same time. It is a very dark, well-lit room. It is an androgynous thing, which there's a growing number of people that think God is an androgynous. But anyway, this article, synthetic biology. In other words, We're going to mess with everything that God created in this world. When we put our hands on it, it will be unrecognizable. Now, I've been pressed for time today. I've not had a chance to get these on the Pastor Mike Online Facebook website, but I will try to do that immediately after the broadcast today, along with uploading everything and getting DVDs and stuff like that. So anyway, we've got that one. Here is, you got it. This is unbelievable. A lady writes me, apparently it was during PMO Tuesday, and I didn't see the email. She asked me, she said, do you remember a song called Lord of the Dance? No, I don't remember that. Apparently it's from what somebody else said, apparently it is an old Methodist song or something like that. Anyway, this young lady said, we used to sing it in the church youth group. And here's the list. Now, remember, Shiva. Let me put Shiva back up on the screen here. Shiva is the Lord of the Dance. That's what he's referred to. Lord of the Dance, Shiva. And ask yourself the question, in how many places in the Bible did God get up and do a little jig? How many times in the Bible did Jesus dance, throw himself around, slam dancing? How many times did he do that in the Bible? Zero. So anyway, somebody wrote like a little chorus or a little song sung in churches. And it says, here's the lyrics. I danced in the morning when the world was begun. Now, hold on a second. What we learned Tuesday about Shiva is the idea that Shiva does one kind of dance in order to create, and Shiva does another dance in order to destroy. And Shiva can dance if he wants to. He can leave your friends behind. But anyway, the song says, I danced in the morning when the world was begun. That's not God, that's Shiva. Here's the chorus. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Dance, said he. And I got to cue the music on that one. Good grief. A song sung in a church youth group. I don't know who wrote this ridiculous Antichrist song. These people fell for it. But that's to be expected when you're dealing with a denomination of people who despise so much the written record of the Word of God, the unchangeable, incorruptible Word of God, and accept homosexuals, transgendered, not just inviting them to church. I'm talking having them sit in a have them stand behind the pulpit. For crying out loud. The song says, I am the Lord of the Dance, said he. I lead you all wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. My jaw dropped open when I was sent this. Pocket Monsters. Do you know what that is? Pokemon. Now, this thing is big, and I have not had the time to sit down and study out everything related to Pokemon. When my children were little, we never let them play Pokemon or what. We didn't do it. It was just one of these fantasy role-playing games. I'm not sure if there was any cards involved in it, but we don't do cardomancy. So we didn't let our kids play Pokemon. But now there's an app, and this app is so nuts, it's just taken over everywhere. There have been people raped, killed, robbed. I'm not sure exactly how the game works, but a couple thugs up in North St. Louis set up one of these Pokemon appearances. I think it's like, it's not virtual reality. It's when the two are fused together, when you get the view of the real world plus this electronic world in front of you. You know what I'm talking about. I keep wanting to say virtual reality, augmented reality. That's what I'm looking for. augmented reality, and these guys set up a location so that people could find this pocket monster, and as people start showing up, they'd rob them at gunpoint, beat them up. This thing is everywhere. Here's an article from the dailymail.uk or .co.uk. Woman tells police she was raped by a Pokemon Go character after she felt an assault, and the virtual reality game detected the creature in her bedroom. This is ridiculous. Do we believe she told officers that she had been sexually assaulted by a giant Pokemon in her apartment in the Russian capital of Moscow? She claimed that she woke up to find a huge Pokemon lying on top of her body and says it was raping her. Now, before you discount this as a little too much vodka, do a little research on devils that are called. One is called incubus. One is called succubus. And the incubus, I think, is a sort of a male devil that rapes or molests a human woman and impregnates her. And I'm just telling you, this is like mythology. This is the story that people have told throughout the centuries. A succubus is a female devil that draws men in to commit fornication. How is that possible? I don't know. Genesis chapter 6 said it was. Jude said these angels left their first estate. Here's another one. Faceless recognition system can identify you even when you hide your face. We know about face recognition technology. All you have to do is pull your Android phone or your iPhone up and get ready to take somebody's picture, and the software in it puts a square around somebody's face. Your phone knows what a human face looks like. Artificial intelligence. All this data on Facebook. You know, when you take a picture of a group of people, post it on Facebook, automatically you just move the mouse over individuals' faces and you get an opportunity to write their name in or tag them if they're on Facebook. Well, think about what's going on here. With the aid of millions of people all over the world, the artificial intelligence scenario, or the artificial intelligence, what was the word I was looking for? I'm losing about half of my words today. Anyway, the artificial intelligent machine now knows this face associated with this name, and it has all this ton of information on that name. The computer knows who you are when you walking down the street singing do-a-diddy-diddy. Here's another one. Has the first person to achieve immortality already been born? Scientists say yes. The first immortals have already been born, Cambridge scientist claims. Now, that's somewhat of a misleading headline, but that's how things are done in the internet world. You hype something real big, but the gist of the article is that in all likelihood, the first person to ever achieve mankind's version of immortality more than likely has already been born, even though they haven't received the immortality mark yet, or the immortality sting yet. But the idea is that this person, whoever it's going to be, is already alive and well and living on the soon-to-be late great planet Earth. And when I saw that, the first thing that crossed my mind was this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. And if you've heard my take on what I think that means, and I've seen it all. I've seen people use the idea of a generation as a time thing. Oh, a generation's 40 years. No, a generation's 70 years. No, a generation's 120 years. No, the generation is whatever. And people have used that. I did it a long time ago. I found out I wasn't right. But they use it to try to pinpoint the time of the Lord's coming. Even though the Lord told us, would you guys stop that? Would you quit doing that? Nobody knows. You're not going to be the first to get it. But people use the idea of a generation. Oh, a generation's 40 years. And if we take it from this point here, then that means like tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon, the Lord's going to come back. And people will do that. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see the Bible. I don't see a verse saying a generation is 40 years. There's not even anything like that in the Bible. The book of Psalms talks about the human lifespan being about 70 years. And if he's, you know, if God blesses him, then it's like 80 years or 84 years. My dad lived just as long as the Bible said he could, 70 years. And then he went on into glory. But think about the word generation as the Bible uses it. First place it's found, Genesis chapter 5. No. It's before that. Genesis 2, these are the generations. In Genesis 5, it talks about Adam and his offspring. And every child is its own generation, genetic structure. And I think we are approaching a day which would be more than likely in most of our lifetime. We live in a day right now where we know genetic manipulation is going to take place. Manipulating, adding to, taking away from the human genome, thus altering the gene in generation. And so the article is saying that person, the first one who steps up and says, yes, I want my genes altered because I've gained a few pounds. No! I want my genes altered, my genetics altered, so that I can be immortal. And I can live forever. That person is alive on this planet right now, waiting for the day when that shows up, which means that we, you and I, right now are part of a generation of unaltered genome. Unaltered book that God wrote for us. We are that generation, and I'm not about to let my genes be altered by anybody. Rise of the superhumans. Woman has microchips implanted in both hands, so she can unlock doors without keys. Think about it. That's Revelation 9. Unlock doors without keys and never needs a computer password. Now remember, the mark of the beast, Revelation chapter 13, is so that no man might buy or sell. And everybody that is on the earth that God has not separated out for himself will receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. The word in, I think, means something. And we've been talking about the implantable computer chip for years, since what, 1998, 1999, 2000, somewhere around in there. Been talking about it for years. And everybody said, oh, that's the mark of the beast. No. But it was the grandfather of the mark of the beast. I don't know how many augmentations after that first chip have been made or alterations, but they're on a roll. And there is going to come a time when people will be receiving a mark of some kind so that they can buy and sell. We know that's happening. We know it's coming. This is this article, again, it's from the dailymail.co.uk. Interesting read. I'll try to get that posted right after PMO today. Let's see here. I got a couple more. I'm just throwing this stuff at you. Scientists reprogram brain with a beam of light. Human brain is plastic, not hardwired. That's from dailygalaxy.com. We're dealing, when it comes to the brain, they said, We're dealing with a plastic computer that's constantly learning and changing. I want you to think of places in the Bible where it talks about the mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think about, and we always use that and we think, well, you know, that's somebody that, you know, they're like a hypocrite. They say they're one thing and yet they're another thing. And yeah, it's valid. I accept that. But think of it like this. Someone who is transgendered, they're double-minded. Part of them is male. Part is female. They are double-minded. Someone who is a hypocrite, pretending to be a Christian, living like they're lost. That is a double-minded person. Someone who is going to allow the Iron Kingdom to mingle with their seed, with their DNA, that person will become double-minded and they are unstable in all their ways. You know what happens when you're unstable, don't you? You got kicked out of the stable. No, you're going to fall. Those who are double-minded, they are the ones who are going to fall in the last days. Here's another one, very interesting, kind of related to the Pokemon thing. Zayn Malik claims that aliens told him to leave the One Direction music band. The former boy band star sensationally left the X Factor, formed five-piece band last month. I've never heard of these guys. Zayn Malik finally opening up about the first time he ever thought about leaving the group One Direction, and the reason is not what you'd expect. He said, an alien spoke to me in a dream. The 23-year-old singer tells Glamour magazine he left the X Factor band last March. He said the otherworldly beings could well then have helped the hunky Bradford lad scoop chart success with his debut single and album, Mind of Mine, both reaching the number one spot. He said Bradford later revealed that paranormal activity played its part, and he confessed to Glamour magazine, an alien spoke to me in a dream. Is that one hard to believe? No, it's not hard to believe at all. People sell their souls. People follow Ephesians 2, once again, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit. That's the spirit that moves, coordinates people. That's the spirit that flies airplanes into big buildings. That's that spirit. And anybody that's lost, anybody that is not a born-again, Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled, sealed until the day of redemption, Christian, anybody who doesn't fall in that category, they are in the Illuminati. Then that would mean that there are billions of people in the Illuminati. Yes, they are all in it. I sound like a paranoid schizophrenic. They're all in it. Everybody's in it. But that's what the Bible says. If they're lost, they're not guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. They're guided and led by a prince, principality. In this case, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. You don't want the gospel? You don't want to live God's way? Fine. Now you're going to have cruel messenger, cruel authority, a messenger of Satan. That's what you're going to have as your guide. And it does not surprise me a bit that this guy heard his alien, his devil, tell him in a dream to do this. And move on. I'll make you a rich man. Get the DVD series. We don't have it. The DVD series, They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. Outstanding series. The amount of research that was done to put this thing together, but it clearly shows that these rock stars, they sold their souls. They decided to become twice dead so they could have all the wealth, all the fame, all the women, all the men in some cases, all the whiskey, all the drugs. And the devil will load them up for it. You say, well, that doesn't mean they're an Illuminati. Really? What does that mean? What does that symbol mean? I make this triangle sticking over my eye, block out the other eye. What is that? And you've got rock stars and you got people doing that all over the place. What about this one? The horn salute. What about that one? That is, I did a video on this. In Revelation 13, the other beast that rises up out of the earth, the false prophet, he had two horns like a lamb. That's his sign. He is the one, and rock and roll is of the spirit of a false prophet. It is leading people astray. So is a lot of country music. So is a lot of folk music. So is a lot of this and that and the other. Rhythm and blues, rap, metal, you name it. Contemporary Christian music, leading people astray. The false prophet with his two horns. People going around, yeah, rock and roll, dude. That would be the Illuminati. I mentioned this last night. You got your Bibles ready? Revelation 9? Because we're close. I mentioned this last night. This is from ChristianPost.com. Pastor claims that, quote, single Christians, and I'm going to use, I hate the S word. I just don't like it. I'm going to use the Bible word. I'm going to use the F word, fornication. Single Christians can have fornication as long as it's mutually pleasurable and affirming. Affirming what? This stuff makes me angry. The Reverend Bromley McClinahan, a married mother. Now, let's stop right here. Hit a little beeper here. Wrong answer! In God's world, there is no such thing as Mrs. Reverend so-and-so. No such thing. You know what the qualifications of a bishop is? A bishop is a pastor. You know what the qualifications are? The qualifications specifically prohibit a woman from being a pastor or bishop over a church, because the Bible said twice, two places, he should be the husband of one wife. That's the qualifications of it. You can't get around it. I don't know how they do, but apparently they do. They get around it. The Reverend McClinahan, married mother of three, an associate pastor for ministry with families at Union Church of Hinsdale in Illinois, says single Christians can have fornication as long as it's, quote, mutually pleasurable. Isn't this the going trend nowadays? The author of this article writes. Whoever wrote this, I like them. They use the King James. When one examines 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 in the KJV, many mainline Protestant evangelical churches, like the Assemblies of God Church, advise against sexual relations among single Christians. Today, within our society, singles exist for one of two reasons, either by choice or by circumstance. In either case, the Bible's mandate is clear for all unmarried individuals. They are to remain pure. Bucking against conservative Christian tradition, advising against extramarital fornication, the Reverend Bromley McClinahan. Did I already read that already? Here we go. For McClinahan, however, whose views are comprehensively captured in her new book, Good Christian, it's the name of the book. Why chastity isn't the only option. and other things the Bible says about single Christians don't need to abstain from fornication to remain pure, since being chaste is about moderation. Mm. Where did that come from? Wait a minute. I know where they got that. Hang on here. That's where they got it from. They got it from the trash can. They didn't get that from the Bible. People, if it's not the Bible, then it's nothing. American Christians, she says, sometimes conflate celibacy and chastity too, which is a problem. Chastity is a virtue related to temperance. It's about moderating our indulgences and exercising restraint. What restraint? What restraint? If, as you say, Ms. McClanahan, what restraint is there if you tell these people, oh, knock your socks off, go ahead, God wants you to? What restraint is there? We're all called to exercise chastity in a variety of ways. That's, excuse me, there's only one kind of clean water. There's only one kind of pure water. Only one kind. Not varieties of clean water. In Kenya, they shut down, I don't know how many hundreds of water bottling facilities because some of these companies were using dirty water and sending it out as clean water. When I go to Kenya, I don't drink the water. I drink bottled water. They shut down, I don't know how many companies, hundreds of them, because they were cheating. They were sending out dirty water. Michael told us, he said, if you buy bottled water, make sure it's got that little shrink wrap seal on it. Because what people will do is that they'll collect all these bottles, these plastic bottles, fill them up with just regular tap water, put the lid down on it real tight and make you, and cool it somehow, and then make you think that you're buying clean bottled water, but you're not. They're cheating. There's not a, and if somebody gives me a bottle and I see the lid's been open, is this clean water? Well, yeah, and there are varieties of clean water. Excuse me, I don't want a variety. I want clean. That's what this person's saying. A variety of ways to exhibit chastity, though the details will vary given our individual situations. In other words, just do what you want. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. See, that's Satan. That's the prince of the power of the air. That's who these people are following. This woman. Not a Christian. Needs to repent. She needs a rod laid across her back by God the Father is what she needs. You know, like the ones you and I get when we get out of line. That's what she needs. But to tell everybody, to tell this generation that what they are already doing before marriage is okie-dokie with God, that's number one, irresponsible. Number two, it's blasphemy. There is no variety of purity. It doesn't exist. This is part of the Christian industrial complex. Whoever published this book needs a spanking from God. They promoted it. Churches all over the country are going to gobble this up. Why? Because it tells them what they want to hear. And this is a perfect case. In the parable of the seed and the sower, this is a perfect case of the thorns choking out the word of God in somebody's life. The seed was planted. The stalk rose up, but thorns around it choked out the word of God, now it brings forth no fruit. I say that to you. I say it to myself. I have my thorns. You do too. Our duty as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was just reading in James this morning, faith without works is dead. You tell me, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. This woman, she'll say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And yet the works of her life, the manifestations of what she really believes, they contradict her words. Anybody can say, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, we're cool. Me and God, we worked out our own thing several years ago. I got it written in a contract. Me and God worked it all out. I can do whatever I want to. And I'm still going to heaven. That's contradictory to what the Bible says is the fruit and the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit in a person's life. I can talk about this all day long. I want to get into the topic du jour. The truth of it is, you will act in such a way as that it will reflect what you truly believe. If you truly believe that the Bible is God's inerrant word, no amount of man's trifling will ever alter that. You believe every word in it, and it's valid, and it's right, and its precepts are true, and you're going to keep it from this day forward till death do you part. I promise you, it will reflect in your character, in your behavior, how you talk, how you walk, your conversation with people, what people think about you. It will be reflected in that. The fruit will be manifested of what you truly believe. But people, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to the United Methodist Church, and we have this cool song called The Lord of the Dance, and you know, it's about how God danced to create the universe. You see, they really believe that, and their actions will always represent what they truly believe. There are no atheists, hardened, Bill Nye the Science Guy atheists. There are no atheists who come to Bethel Church, sit, sing our hymns, open up a King James Bible, and as I'm preaching, say, amen, preacher, that's good preaching. You preach that stuff. By the way, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. That doesn't occur. There are no atheists who go to church, read the Bible, and say amen to the preacher while he's preaching. They don't exist. You know why? Because it's not what they believe. They don't believe in God. And so what they're doing on Sunday, anybody's guess. You see what I'm saying here? We're not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith. But what you truly believe will be exhibited in your life. Revelation chapter 9. Take a look at it. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. We read on Tuesday that one of the things that we know that the people at CERN, where the Large Hadron Collider is, where the Atlas Project is, where the ALICE Project and facility is. Alice, you know what that's from? Not the TV show Alice. Alice in Wonderland, written by who? You know? Charles Dodgson. Okay? He wrote under a pseudonym of Lewis Carroll. Charles Dodgson was a British mathematician. And in his novel, Alice's Adventure Through the Looking Glass, he was describing what it would be like to enter into the fourth dimension. Are you catching this? So one of the facilities at CERN and the research and the project around this facility is called Alice. Why? Another dimension. Tap into it. Let's see if we can unlock that door. So the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. That, my friends, is a different dimension. Where did Jesus say he was going when his body lay in the grave? Where did Jesus say that he was going during that time? To the heart of the earth. Just like as the sign of Jonas, the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth. Your heart has four chambers. It's a pic, and by the way, we're made from this earth. It's a picture. God's telling you something. That bottomless pit, why is it bottomless? It's a different dimension. Those who are in it are in a perpetual state of falling. They never stop falling. So here's the bottomless pit. A star, which according to the Bible is an angel. A star falls, and to that star was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, I think I saw a star fall from heaven. Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from where? Heaven. Who? O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? I think that star, could be wrong. I'll know it when I see it. I think that star is Lucifer. I think he did not steal the keys. He did not wait till Jesus was asleep. He did not wait till Jesus had his head turned, was talking to, well, hey, angel, and Satan reached around and grabbed the key. Jesus is the only one who has the authority and permission to open and shut, and he hands the key to Lucifer and says, go for it, big fella. It's time to let who let the dogs out? Lucifer. So he opens, he takes that key willingly, and he opens that door. And that door is a barrier between our world and that world. And trust me, you go into any jail, any prison, anywhere in the world with a set of keys and open up prison doors, and I promise you the inmates are going to escape. They want out of there. And that's what this bottomless pit is. It's a prison. It is jail. And it's locked. And the key is going to open it up. And once they open that up, these things are going to come out of there. And it's just like the Bible uses this illustration of spilled water. Once you turn the bucket over and spill the water, you can't ever get the water back in the bucket. It's not going to happen. So he opened the verse 2, the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a Led Zeppelin concert. Or excuse me, as the smoke outside of a Baptist church on Sunday morning. There came out, verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. This is Joel's army we're talking about here. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh. Look at verse 11. They had a king over them, which was the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. CERN and their headquarters is located at the site of a former temple dedicated to Apollyon, the destroyer. Shiva, you see Shiva right here. Looks like he's winding up his pitch, and he's going to throw a strike. Shiva is doing this dance. He's surrounded by flames because that's where he is. He is in hell. He's in prison. He's in the jail, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And Shiva is wanting someone to open the gate to let him out. So they put this, and they wrapped it up in scientific language. Actually, our Indian friends, they recognize that the dance of Shiva, which creates and destroys, is very similar to the quote-unquote dance that quantum particles make. See, they said it like that to make it sound like it's all scientific what we're doing here. But they put a god right in the middle of their compound. Literally a god, a dead god, but it's a god. That's the spirit now that is working in those children of disobedience. That's who that is. And so one night, a few days ago, dark clad people who apparently had a badge, an ID badge, to be able to get into this facility, they come out in the middle of the night and they are performing a ritual that involves stabbing the young lady dressed in white. Now, let me just run a theory by you. Could be wrong. In the Bible, do you know who it is that gets dressed in all white? It's the bride of Jesus. Oh, cue the music on that one. Go read it in Revelation 19. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For this fine linen, this white dress, this white garment, is the righteousness of the saints. The other translations, like the NIV and others, they say the righteous deeds or the righteous acts of the saints. And in that case, it's not unlike Freemasonry. Freemasonry teaches that if the Mason wears his white lambskin apron, by the way, you know what that makes him? A wolf in sheep's clothing. Masons wear the lambskin apron. It was the apron that Adam put on to cover his own shame, his own sin. Masons believe and teach that the Mason who wears the lambskin apron, when he presents himself to God or the great architect on the day of judgment, God would have sent him to hell. But, oh, looky there. He's got a lambskin apron covering his loins. I bet he's a righteous, moral person, and he is going to be allowed to come to heaven because of his own righteous deeds. That's what Masonry teaches. That's what the NIV says in Revelation 19. The righteous acts or the righteous deeds of the saints. What they're telling you is that that verse is establishing a doctrine that says, do good and you can go to heaven. But that's not how it is. The King James says it's the righteousness of the saints. Where did that righteousness come from? The church did not make her own wedding garment. To her, it was given, the Bible says. She was granted this as a gift to her. It is the righteousness of Christ being put on her. So my little theory is their plan to destroy the church. Is that far-fetched? No. Mm-mm. Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit, here we go, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, sitting as in ruling the congregation. Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Ezekiel said that there is a conspiracy of her prophets. Sure there is. Sure there is. And what's funny to me is you have all these preachers all over America saying, well, we believe that you can understand God from all the translations. Oh, yeah? Well, can we do it from the King James? Ah, don't say that word. Ah, that's hurting me. They hate the King James. You bring up King James. Oh. Tolerance. Nonsense. They tolerate every wicked thing except for what's right. But there was this little ritual here where they either did stab this woman or they pretended to stab this woman. But it was done right in front of Shiva. This was his sacrifice. From the book, To Be a Wiccan is to worship the goddess and her companion, the horned god. Let me move through this. Here's the horned god. I know who that is. That's the beast that rises up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns. This is who we're talking about. This is who Wiccans worship. And this god, here's Baphomet here. Baphomet's in the Bible. Go read Deuteronomy 4. It's in there. Okay? That's all I'm going to say right now. It's called the horned god. The hairy man of the forest. Remember Esau? The green man, the mighty hunter. Ho, ho, ho. Green giant. Where'd they get that from? Think about it. Okay? Now, let me go to where we left off here. The horned god's name is Cernunnos or CERN. So you have CERN, and we kind of left off here Tuesday. The horned god is an under god, which means that he is where Shiva is. He is in the pit. He is in the underworld. He's in hell, locked up there. And he is a mediator between an unknowable supreme deity and the people. And his name is CERN. Amon Zeus is another word for him. There's his name right there, CERN. Does CERN... See any sixes there? Okay. Now here's that statue of Shiva. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 appendages does Shiva have? 4 arms, 2 legs. Does that number 6 ring a bell to anybody? Does it kind of just jump out at you as being significant? Absolutely. Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's what happened there. The number of the beast, 603 score and what? 6. 6 is a number. Let me show you another one. I'll show you the true, and all you have to do is flip it upside down. Take your Bible, go to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Wait, 1 Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy. I don't know if you do that. I still do that to this day. I learned the New Testament book song. Man, I must have been 7 years old when I first learned it. 1 Timothy 3:16. Let's count here. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. NIV says he appeared in a body. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now some of you might be freaking out going, well, that's the number of the beast. No. A number in the Bible will have a dual meaning. It will have a dual understanding. Like the number 5. The number 5 would be associated in the Old Testament with death. Moses wrote 5 books, the Pentateuch. Adam dies. His name is mentioned 5 times in Genesis 5. 5th time he's mentioned, he dies. His son Seth, same pattern. 5 times he dies. Enos, 5 times he dies. Paul calls it the law of sin and death. The 5 books. Five would be the number for death in the Old Testament, but the number for deathless life afterward. What happened? What happened to my connection to my server? Those of you who are listening to this later on, I just lost the internet feed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unhook the feed temporarily and see if I can get it hooked back on. And wouldn't you know it, all right, coming to you on live once again. This will be the second hour of today's Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. And let me just say this. There is almost never, ever, ever, ever a problem in SWL Studio, which is where I am right now, named after my brother-in-law who built this thing. There's almost never a problem with internet here or the computer crashing or nothing like that. Every time I experience some problem, technical problem, it's usually during at the very beginning of Pastor Mike Online or right in the middle of it. And here we are. Now, I want you to think about this. And I'm not nuts in this. If you think that we can launch an attack upon the kingdom of Satan himself and him just going, oh, I can't do anything about that. He withstands us. He resists us. He tries to thwart what it is that we do. And here we are. We are talking about something that is absolutely satanic and evil at its core. When we started having the problem, we were talking about Shiva and CERN. We were talking about this evil spirit that rules there and what it is that they are doing. Is it, in fact, related to witchcraft? We saw this on Tuesday. The Angel of the Bottomless Pit, Revelation 9:11. That's one of the DVDs that we'll send you. If you'll give us a call or send us an email, let's see, is it PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org? You can go to the blog and you can, find the, you can go to my blog, PastorMikeHoggard.com, and, then you can get the ordering details. It's called the CERN package. I encourage you to get it. See that number there, 46. The Bible mentions that the name was given in the Hebrew tongue and the Greek tongue. Well, that just happens to be the two languages your Bible was written in. Hebrew and Greek. Hebrew has 22 letters. Greek has 24 letters. 46 total. What does that mean? Okay. Let's see here. We read that. We talked about bending time. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, somewhere around there where we left off on Tuesday. The Bible says, ye shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. And what we were talking about was the possibility. And according to this, if I'm reading it right, apparently the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist is wanting to change times. Something related to linear time. When I say linear time, time is in a line as far as we know, as far as we can understand. It's like a river. Time's like a river. I should write a song on that. But it is. It has a starting point and an ending point. The starting was the creation. The ending is the end of the world, Revelation. And then there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and the old heaven, the old earth is going to pass away. Something about changing something in time. I mean, it's the idea behind a lot of science fiction stories. I've read some good ones about time travel. There are movies made about time travel and what would be possible and how this would work. Some of them pretty weird. But CERN has already shown that they believe that they have discovered that some of their little particles were able to warp time, even if it's like a micromillisecond. Think about the ramifications of that. That's like, that would be like you sitting in your easy chair watching a football game, and then just by thinking about it, you actually moved the moon an inch out of its orbit. Sounds impossible, right? It would also, according to what we know and think, it seems like it would be impossible for anything to travel either forward or backward in time. But according to what we see in Daniel, that's the plan of the Antichrist. That's the plan of Shiva. Remember, let me go back to that. That's what we talk about Tuesday. Shiva is a time bender. According, this is a Google Play game for your Android tablet or your Android smartphone. You play Shiva the time bender, and if you get killed, you can cheat by going back in time, reverse time. And according to the Bible, the Antichrist is going to speak great words against the Most High, which is God, and he's going to think to change times and laws. And look at what it says, and they shall be given into his hand. Apparently, God's going to let him do it. Is there precedent for this? Is there any place in the Bible where time went backward? Yes. 2 Kings chapter 20. I've heard this story. I've read it several times about the sundial. Never thought of it as a reversal of time, but I want you to look at what the Bible says. This was something that God did as a sign. Remember, these things that were are things that shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. That which was is that which shall be. These things are written for our admonition and learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're going to see this again. 2 Kings 20, verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. And he's given him an option here. The prophet, I think it's Isaiah, is giving him the option here. And he says, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Think of that number 10. How many horns on that beast? 10. How many toes does the image have? 10. And those are 10 kings, 10 commandments, the curse of the law. So look, and I'm going to tweet something while I'm talking. Let me just do this here. I am recording the rest of PMO. By the way, if you do not follow our Twitter account, I encourage you to do it. Just about everything that we do, all of our schedules, every time we turn cameras on, every time we release a video, is all people get notifications by way of Twitter. All you have to do is follow King James Code, all one word. I'm recording the rest of PMO. We'll have it uploaded later today. Good deal. All right. And I'm afraid to, you're going to be listening to this later. I'm afraid to hit the stream button because that's what's caused Wirecast to crash now three times in a row. So I'm going to be content with recording this and then we'll get it out later. But go back to this scripture here. He's given the option whether he wants the sundial, the shadow on the sundial, to go 10 degrees forward or 10 degrees backward. And Hezekiah, verse 10, answered and said, it is a light thing. Get it? Get it? A light thing? Yeah, anyway. It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. In other words, if I just sat around here for the next, I think 10 degrees was like 40 minutes. If we just sat here and stared at it in 40 minutes time, it's going to move forward 10 degrees. That's nothing. But let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. They were looking at a sundial. And Isaiah cried unto the Lord, God, you heard him. Give him a sign. Make the sundial go backward 10 degrees. Now, I want you to understand the ramifications of this. Something happened. Did God literally move the sun backward in its circuit around the earth? Did God do that? And he didn't mention the shade of the trees or their own shadow. He didn't mention that. They specifically referenced the sundial of Ahaz, which is how they measured time. The sundial at Ahaz showed a reversal of time. 10 degrees on the sundial would have been 40 minutes. 40. Think about that. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. What does that number mean? It has to do with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. The four elements are represented by the number four. And they refer to principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the four elements represent. And so here's what I think God did. God turned back time. There's a commercial on TV right now. I hate it. And there's a rock singer from the 70s and 80s. I don't know. It might be Eddie Van Halen or something like that. Got a haircut. You know we've got the power to turn back time. Think about it. Think about that song. Who wrote that song, by the way? It wasn't Eddie. Who wrote that song? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let's turn back time. There was. You remember, this kind of goes back a little bit. Not too many people are doing this anymore. But in the 70s and 80s, there was preachers, and there was a guy that I knew. I loved his testimony. His name was Joel. This is back when I was in high school. He used to be in drugs, used to be in rock and roll. He was a member of a church just north of here. And God put it in his heart to go around to do seminars on rock music, against rock music in churches. And he played backward masking, subliminal backward masking rock songs. Stairway to Heaven, the Electrolyte Orchestra song, El Dorado, has one of the clearest examples I've ever heard of backward messaging. The song backward said, he is the nasty one, Christ, you're infernal, though it is said we're dead men, everyone who has the mark shall live. I'm not making that up. Hotel California had it in there. And when that idea started creeping out, people hearing about it, Styx released an album. And in order to sell the album, they put a sticker on there that said, a portion of this album contains backward messages. And so everybody bought the album. And in the album, you could clearly, I forgot what song it was, but you could clearly hear a voice speaking in reverse, speaking backwards. And all you had to do was take your record player and spin it backwards, and you would hear, the music is reversible. Now what happened to my... There we go. Everything that can go wrong today will. The music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back. Turn back. Turn back. The Beatles, Revolution number 9. Number 9? Number 9? Play it backwards. Turn me on, dead man. Another one bites the dust. Start to smoke marijuana. Did it work? Oh, yeah. Time going backward. What direction do the people who are slain in the spirit fall? What direction? Backward. This is all significant, people, because that's what CERN is attempting to do. Look at Genesis 19. What did Lot's wife do? She looked what direction? Back. Why? Sodom was the past, and she and a woman in the Bible is always indicative of a church. She's either a clean church, pure church, adorned by Christ, or she's a harlot church like Jezebel. In this case, Sodom's wife, Lot's wife wanted to go which direction? Back. Genesis 14 or 49:17, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall what direction? Backward. 1 Samuel 4:18, Eli, what direction did Eli fall? Backward. Hiram Abiff. When you join the Masonic Lodge, which I'm not telling you to join the Masonic Lodge. Don't join the Masonic Lodge. But those that have, there's a ritual that they perform in the Blue Lodge, the third degree. When someone says, man, he's like, give me the third degree. That's where that came from. And in the third degree, there is a play enacted. And you, as the initiate, are brought in with a blindfold around your face. You cannot see. You came to Masonry so you could see the light. And you're going to play the part of Hiram Abiff. You have the lost keys. You have the secret word. You have the hidden occult knowledge of how to build temples. You know what a temple is? It's a human body. And in this enactment, you are smitten once. Let's see if I got this right. You're smitten three times. You are Hiram Abiff, and three ruffians come up, and they want the secret, and you're not going to tell them. So they're going to kill you. So the first place they strike is your left breast, where your heart is. The second place they're going to hit you is in the neck. Or the neck may be the first one and the breast the second one. And the third place they're going to hit you is in your forehead, just like someone who is receiving a slain in the spirit. They're being murdered. Slay means murder. Whoever that guy in that church is smiting you on the forehead, he is murdering your spirit. That's what the phrase means, slain in the spirit. Slain in the spirit is nothing but the reenactment from a Masonic lodge of Hiram Abiff. Because you're supposed to fall backwards, and that's what the initiate does. He is instructed when he receives the mallet on his head, he is to fall backward. And then, with the firm grip of the lion's paw, you see what I'm making here? In the remake of the Star Trek series, they've gone into an alternate universe. Now they're going to come up with all these new stories that never really happened in Star Trek land. Star Trek in the early 80s, they did the Wrath, or late 70s, they did the Wrath of Khan. It's probably the best of the Star Trek movies right there. No doubt in my mind. Ricardo Montalban, one of the greatest actors in my opinion. But they redid it and they retold it. And instead of Spock dying, saving the Enterprise, it's Kirk that dies. And as Kirk is dying, he puts his hands up to the glass. Spock, and the guy that plays Spock is a sodomite, puts his hand up against him, and they both end up making this sign. That it, and Leonard Nimoy got it from the Jewish rabbi, the synagogue that he grew up in. That is the firm grip of the lion's paw. I watched two Masons greet each other with this grip. I was looking right at them. The masonry teaches you that the firm grip of the lion's paw grabs a hold of you and brings you back to life. Study the lion's paw or the paw of the lion in your King James Bible. It's not a good thing. But it's all about going backwards and bringing something from the past to the future. Bringing it back to life. Going back in the past and changing something. Think about it, people. By the way, the three ruffians that hit Hiram Abiff three times, first time in the neck, second time in the left breast, third time in the head. JFK was hit first by a bullet coming out of his throat. You remember the Zapruder film doing this? The second shot missed him, went through Connolly's left breast. I'm not making that up. Third shot, I believe, was a grassy knoll, frontal shot. I've stood at that fence and I said, I could make this shot. Right through his forehead. Okay? You can believe what you want. But I'm telling you, it was a ritual. Just like what happened at CERN. 1 Samuel 15, Saul turned back from following me. Psalm 40, the Bible says, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Driven backward. Listen, people, what are we as Christians? Where are we going? Paul said, listen to this now. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we press toward the mark for the high calling or the prize of the high calling of in Christ Jesus. I just butchered that verse, but you know what it is. We don't go backward. We are not of them who turn back unto perdition. We don't go backward. The whole Hebrew roots movement is all about going backward to Sinai and put you under that covenant. That's what it's all about. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Look at this. Our heart is not turned back, David said in Psalm 44:18. Psalm 53:2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back, the Bible says. Let's see here. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame. Psalm 78:56. But turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. When you go forward, you do it in faith. When you go backward, you're going back to be cursed. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Look at what your Bible's saying. It's telling you what is happening, what's going to happen. That beast is back there. He's buried in the past, and something, I don't know exactly how, but something goes back and brings him forward. Look in Revelation 17. I've made a lot of comments on this, especially when it occurred to me that the beast is not yet is. And in Revelation 17, when it's talking about the beast, let me find that verse real quick. Let's see here. Verse 8, which is interesting. His numbers, one of his numbers is 8. He is of the 7. He is the 8th and is of the 7. In verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was. You know what that is? That is a past tense word. He's back there. He was and is not and shall ascend. He's going to be brought from the past back there to the future. Time keeps on slipping, 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 slipping. Think about it. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, yet is. Not only is he a cubit, the fusion of opposites, he's in the past. And they're going to go get him. Jeremiah 2:19, their own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Jeremiah 8:5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden by a perpetual backsliding? Perpetual backsliding, that would be like falling. Isaiah 1:4, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Isaiah 28:13, the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Think about it. 3, 4, 5, look at there. I was just counting Isaiah 28:13. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. 10. That they might go, think of the fifth trumpet that sounds, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Think about it. Because if you don't believe the New Testament, that's what's ahead of us. I am pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I'm forgetting those things that are behind. You need to do that as well. John 6:66, cue the music. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you know why they went back? Man, I tell you what, Scripture is just making this thing breathe, people. It's making it alive. Look at it. John chapter 6. I'll tell you why they went back. For the same reason that churches are. There are churches and quote unquote ministries that are having what's called ancient future conferences. Ancient future. It was and will be at the same time. We're going to merge the ancient with the future. Do you know what that is? That's synthesis. That's a very well lit dark room. That is, what else could we analyze here? That is a heavenly object that is a sun moon. Okay? Here's why they went backwards in John 6:66. He says, he's talking about the bread and the manna, and that he's the bread that comes down from heaven. So he says in 61, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Look at verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why churches all over the world now are going to go back and walk no more with Jesus. Why? They hate the Bible. They claim they have the Holy Spirit. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost. And yet they hate the Word of God. And the two are inseparable. And people, don't let anybody take that away from you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His name is called the Word of God. By the way, that's like what your Bible's called, the Word of God. the words that had been purified seven times, the words that God promised he would keep them and preserve them from this generation forever. And when people reject that, you'll never find a Hebrew roots movement that'll be King James only. Never. Never. And then when I say King James only, I'm not just saying, well, you know, he uses a King James. Because in order to support their doctrine, they cannot use the King James Bible the way it's written. They will always have to retranslate, in many cases, large portions of it so they can make it say what they want it to say. And yet they want you to think that they are full of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. That's what they want you to think. But the truth is, they decided to go back to Mount Sinai instead of ahead to Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. In chapter 18, as soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. You know what that is? That's destruction. Where is he right now? He's the destroyer. He is Shiva. He is in destruction. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Got to move on. Revelation chapter 9. This hit me. I'm just going, duh. Okay. Makes sense. A light comes on. The sting of these beasts that come out of the opened up portal in Revelation 9. Where is that sting located? On their front part or their back part? They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. There's your iron kingdom right there. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. That's your Joel's army right there. By the way, I can see in the Bible how these chariots mentioned, like Pharaoh's chariots. Who was it? Sisera in Judges that had 900 chariots of iron? I've done a video on this. The UFOs, chariots of the beast. I think UFOs are interdimensional chariots, just like the Bible says. These scorpions sound like chariots running to battle. Verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Where's the tail? It's back. It's behind. Bees, the same way. You don't get bitten by a bee or a wasp. You don't get bitten by a scorpion. They sting you with what's back on them. What is in the past? Genesis 6, mighty men which were of old, men of renown. That's who's back there. Jeremiah 5, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Remember that song? You start thinking of it in light of what we now know as the divine spark. And the spark, through certain rituals, becomes a full flame of divinity. And I'm just going, let's see, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. I'm sorry, no. Anyway, verse 15, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. Let's stop here and think about this. And by the way, it's a nation whose language thou knowest not. That's Enochian language. is the language of devils, is who that is. They speak, and this is what God said in Deuteronomy 28 concerning if they don't keep the law, if they don't keep all of his laws, God will send a nation to them, a nation coming as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Close encounters of the third kind. Did you ever see that? Steven Spielberg, who is a Jew, who hates Jesus, when he made Close Encounters, it was intended to be a mockery of Jesus. Because the aliens summon 12 people to come and gather together and meet the aliens at a coordinate that they picked. And I mean, I watched this movie when it first came out in the 70s. My mom let me go to the LeJade Cinema in Festus and watch Close Encounters. I ate it up. It didn't occur to me then what was going on. Instead of the 12 meeting God at the mountain of God, the 12 meet the alien at Devil's Tower. Cue the music on that one. And you know what the aliens were doing as they precipitated their arrival to the earth? Do you know what got the government's attention on the opening scene of Close Encounters is that this consortium of a secret government representatives going down to Mexico because the locals were saying in the middle of the night, the sun came out in the middle of the night and sang. So they were investigating that, and then they found all of these old airplanes from the World War II era. Planes that had gone missing over the Bermuda Triangle. And what the aliens did was they brought things from the past and brought it to the future. Do you get it now? Go watch that movie. Go watch it. It's unbelievable, the symbolism you'll see in there. This is an ancient nation. How many religious peoples of the world give homage, pay respect, pray to the ancestors? I know Native Americans and First Nations do it. They give, the Aborigines do it. The Japanese do it. It's all about honoring the ancestors. Who are they? Well, supposedly, they're like your forefathers that died and their spirits are still there to guide everybody. You'll see that religious idea everywhere. But it's all about giving honor and praying and beseeching an ancient people from the past. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Oh, by the way, what I was going to say about Close Encounters was that they realized that when the aliens landed, they wouldn't be able to talk to them the way you and I are talking with each other now. Because the aliens have a language that nobody on the earth understands. Sounds like the gibberish tongues movement that's going on. By the way, they are all mighty men. That's Genesis chapter 6, mighty men which were of old. Here's the difference between the King James and the NIV. King James you can count it, Micah is the 33rd book of the Bible. When Herod wanted to know where this king was going to be born, where did the scribes tell him? They were quoting from the 33rd book of the Bible. And it says in the King James, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That teaches you or establishes the doctrine of the eternality and the deity of Christ. He always was, is, and always shall be. And here's what the NIV translators did with it. Whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Origins, not goings forth. His origins, his beginning. They're teaching you that Jesus had a beginning. Because I think if they can teach you that Jesus had a beginning, then guess what? He has an ending. But look at what they did to the 33rd book of the Bible. Are you catching this now? Whose origins are from old, from ancient times. We already talked about this. The Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, Revelation 17, does not describe the Antichrist that way. Thou sawest, the beast that thou sawest was and is not. Notice the difference here. Which is and which was and which is to come. Christ was, is right now, and will be. The beast was and is not. He's not right now, and yet, he is. A book called The Once and Future King. By the way, this is a scene from one of the X-Men movies. What is this guy's name? Magneto? Reading from his book, The Once and Future King. You know what that is? That's ancient future. The Grail. Remember that? We talked about this. You'll get this in the DVD series that we're going to send you. What was it called? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Elements of Wrath. Because NASA sent two satellites to the moon. And on December 31st, they release one of the satellites into orbit 1 minute before midnight, probably Houston time, Central time. 1 minute after midnight, they sent the other one into orbit, and they're supposedly they're looking for water. They're going to examine the surface of the moon and underneath or whatever, something like that. But it's called the Grail, Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory. That's made up, by the way. They made those words up. Grail, as in the elixir of life, as in the Holy Grail. And I'll tell you who the Holy Grail is. It's the beast that was and is not yet is. Why did they release one satellite right before midnight, December 31st, and then another satellite right after midnight, January 1st? Why did they do that? Because it has to do with that. Janus. J-A-N-U-S. That is where we get the word January from. January, the god Janus is a two-faced. Remember what we said earlier. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He is two-faced because one face looks to the past. The other face looks toward the future. Future, future, future. And I want you to look at it. You have the ancient and the future joined together. Now, here again, here's another one of those I cannot fathom that things. Like a quantum bit. How a switch could be on and off at the same time. I cannot understand that. How is it that the North Pole can be the South Pole and the South Pole can be, how is it that the poles can become one? It's the fusion of opposites. It is the core of what Baphomet is all about. He is androgynous, male and female. He is man and beast. Those are opposites. He is human and angel. Opposites. He is Salve and Coagula. By the way, that concept we talked about Tuesday, Salve and Coagula, dissolve and rebuild. That's who Shiva is. How can the temple of God be a temple of idols? How can light have communion with darkness? We cannot fathom that. And yet, that's who we're talking about. That's who the beast is, the Antichrist. He is not, yet is. He is the past and the future joined together at the same time. I'm just going, I don't get that. But that's who he is. And what is he holding in his hand? The key. What is that key for? Revelation 9. That key is going to open up the bottomless pit and let what's been put there in the past come out, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, the king. That's who Janus is. That's why the month January, that's what it's named after. Because, you know, they do this on the news every year. Oh, it's December 31st. Let's look back at the year 2016. And then they, you know, show you all the news things that happened in 2016. And you remember all the people that died in 2016. And you're going, he died? I didn't know he died. That's what they do every year. And then they start talking about the future. And that's what January is all about. It's named after Janus. He is the fusion of opposites. The secret in Manly Hall, secret teachings of all ages. The pagans appointed their two-faced Janus as the custodian of the key to the temple of wisdom. Janus has been metamorphosed to Saint Peter, so often symbolized as holding in his hand the key to the gate of heaven. There it is right there. See the opposites? You see the X chromosome? Do you see a crown there? That's called the triple crown. Think about that. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the man of sin. That symbol, that image, that crest is of the man of sin. He is the opposites joined together by a scarlet cord. Think about, though your sins be as what? The gold and silver keys of God's vicar on earth, the Pope, symbol the first two parts of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, what were they? Gold and silver. That just dawned on me. I just now thought of that. The gold and silver keys of God's vicar on the earth, which is another Jesus. The Pope symbolizes this secret doctrine, which when properly understood, unlocks the treasure chest of the Christian and Jewish Kabbalah. Think about it. The double eagle, one looking to the past, one looking to the future, and yet it is the ancient future joined into one body. By the way, this Masonic emblem, see what's down here? The keys. The keys for what? Opening a portal. Albert Pike's Morals and Dogmas. See the number 33? Whose origins have been from old, from ancient times. 33rd book of the Bible. The eagle looking to the past, looking to the future. He is the past and the future woven into one body. He has under his wings 32 stars. Him being the number 33, these stars, I believe, are the ones falling from heaven. One third of the angels. That's 33.33333%. Ordo out of chaos. What does that mean? Chao is the pit, the abyss, the bottomless pit. Order and chaos fused together. My son has a really, really clean, messy room. Which is it? It has to be one or the other. Not in their world, it doesn't. There's Janus again. Ancient future joined together. Southern View Chapel. This is a church, Ancient Future Faith, its practices. In a recent sermon dealing with the emerging church, Mark Driscoll, pastor of Mars Hill in Seattle, a self-described emerging church leader, identified four lanes in which the emergent movement is traveling. In the first lane are emerging evangelicals who believe in basic Christian doctrine. Let's see here. Such as the Bible being God's word and Jesus dying for our sins. They also tend to form the hip, cool church, according to Driscoll. Pastors that may fall in this category included Dan Kimball and Donald Miller. Without taking much time to debate with Driscoll at this point, I would certainly challenge the notion that, I don't want to read all that. But anyway, the fourth lane is a group of emergent liberals, which Driscoll feels has totally gotten off the highway and is lost out in the woods. They are the ones that will promote intercourse before marriage, and that God favors this. But they are the ones who are bringing forth this idea of the past and the future together. That's going to be the new synthetic church, the new synthetic phase. Ancient future evangelism, making your church a faith-forming community. We're going to go dig up out of the past and bring it to the future. In ancient Roman religion and mythology, Janus is the god of beginnings and transitions, thus also of gates, doors, doorways, endings, and time. You know who Janus is, don't you? He is that which is and is not and was. He's the one who seeks to change times and laws. Let me move ahead here. See that symbol there, the Ouroboros? It's ancient future. Is not and is. The serpent with its tail in its mouth is the symbol of eternity, for in this position, the body of the reptile has neither beginning nor end. The head and tail represent the positive and negative poles of the cosmic life circuit. Manly Hall, Secret Teachings of All Ages. Think of something that is both positive and negative, like your checkbook. Okay? Here is the Large Hadron Collider. I want you to look at this. We're going to wind it down, but this is where I wanted to get to. The symbol of the circle, joining what is past and what is future together. That which was is that which shall be. That's what Solomon said. That the Bible is full of these clues trying to tell us the nature of that beast. And we have CERN telling us that they really do believe that it's possible to either send something, even if it's just a quantum particle. They really do believe that it's possible now to send something into the past or bring something from the past into the future. Let me take just a minute and remind you of what quantum, let's see, which is it? Is it quantum entanglement or quantum something or the other? But the idea is that a particle that's in St. Louis can show up in Dallas, Texas, and never occupy any of the space between St. Louis and Dallas, Texas. It just goes from here to there without actually traveling the distance to get there. That's part of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. That's part of it. They can't explain it. They say it's weird. But we know it works. And you're talking about something in the past that shows up in the future without ever traversing the river of time. In other words, it's in the past and it's going to be in the future, but it's not going to occupy any of time between the past and the future. stuff's right over our head. I know it. But remember what Solomon said, that which was is that which shall be. Represented by the circle, the serpent with his tail in his mouth, and here we have the Large Hadron Collider. See that circle there? Not only did they build CERN on the site of an ancient temple dedicated to Apollyon or Apollo, and remember, Apollo speaks in a language that no one understands. Guess who he is? It's the spirit of Antichrist. Not only did they build CERN, a giant circle, on the site of an ancient Apollyonic temple, they built it at exact... I have the dimensions here. Where is it here? I had it. You can go to Wikipedia, look up CERN, and they always give you the coordinates for any kind of location. 46 degrees north, exactly. Cue the music. Come on, let's hear it. Are they performing witchcraft there? Remember, witchcraft worships a god called CERN, and it is the desire of witches to unite with CERN. So witches always make circles. The Kaaba in Mecca. How do they worship Allah? By way of a magic sacred circle, traveling around a circle, just like the particles that they're smashing in the Large Hadron Collider. Circles everywhere. Remember this? This was Obama's stage in the 2008 Democratic National Convention. They designed it to look like a temple with him as the center point. The point within the circle, you see these, this is a, maybe DuPont circle in Washington, D.C. Look at a map of Washington, D.C. You'll see these little sacred circles everywhere. The point within the circle. You know, there's only one verse in the entire Bible that uses the word circle. Do you know what it's used to reference? Some of you already know this. The earth. The circle that this represents, and this represents, and this represents, and that represents, that circle is the earth. And the point within the circle, that's the heart of the earth. That's the center point. That is, and if you think about it, and listen, I'm not going to be mean about this. The flat earth doctrine does not work with the Bible. One big reason is it does not have a rising and setting sun. Doesn't have it. And the Bible uses the exact words of a rising and setting sun, going down of the sun, coming up of the sun. That does not work. But in a globe earth, it does. And it's something we see every day. Think of the earth, a circle, in every way possible. And there is one place where north meets south. And there is one place where east meets west. Do you know where it is? Right here. There's some music. Right here. Right here. And right here. That's where the lines of north and south cross each other. That's where the lines of east and west join each other. Right in the center point. When you want to do magic, you need to cast a circle. Let me get to, there's something I'm looking for here. Hang on here. Almost there, almost there. You'll get this. Time travel, Looper, going in a circle. This movie, The Time Traveler's Wife, Loop. You see that? Going back around, Source Code. You got to watch this movie. Every 8 minutes, and I'm not making that up, every 8 minutes, this guy replays time in a government experiment, and he is being sent back. You got, I'm going to close out here in a little bit, but you got to watch this movie. Because it's a government program that tries to figure out, there was a bombing taking place in Chicago, and they know there's another bomb because the guy that's going to release the bomb, it's a nuclear bomb. So they send this guy into this 8-minute loop so that he can find out who was on the train that had the bomb, so they can find out who it was. His idea, he keeps going back and reliving these 8 minutes over and over and over again. Do you know what he wants to do? And they said, oh, it's impossible. You can't do that. He wants to go back in time and change it so that none of the bombs go off. And he keeps living this 8-minute circle of time over and over and over and over again. Listen, people, there's rituals that are being performed at CERN. Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. Take a look at that. By the way, it occurred to me that everything that measures time is a circle. Okay? Everything that measures time is a circle. What do... I'm going to be done. I'm going to play my music here so you will believe me. What does that do in masonry? What does a compass do? Draws a circle. Okay? And by the way, the idea of the Antichrist, the Masonic Messiah, is that he is a square circle. Okay? It's called squaring the circle. The square is this tool, and what draws a circle is this tool. You see it? Okay? Quantum opposites. Unbelievable. There's more to this. Get the DVDs, Elements of Wrath. You'll get CDs with it. The Beast of 9/11, you'll get that. These two Pastor Mike online, almost live broadcast, you will also get that on DVD as soon as I get it all put together. I got to splice and edit video like crazy. You're going to get all of these. Give us a call, 636-931-3999. Go to PastorMikeHoggard.com. You'll find the information there. We do not demand payment. We do not sell our videos. But if you'll donate something, that goes toward our expenses, and it goes toward helping out the good people of Kenya with a water well and with the Water of Life, Watchman FM, KBTR. Good to be with you today. Devil, you just can't win. Let me hear God's people say amen.